want to give you an example of what happens when you worship. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, you read about the great prophet Isaiah who was exposing the sins of peoples. Prophets are called to expose the sins of people. And this is how Isaiah exposed the sins of people. Isaiah 5 verse 8. He was led by God, the Holy Spirit, to say this. Woe unto those who add house to house and field to field till there's no more room and you occupy all the property in the land. You know, people who had money were buying all the property so that poor people could not buy anything. All the places were occupied by the rich people because they had plenty of money. Woe unto them who make the poor people suffer like that. This is Isaiah the prophet. Then, verse 11, woe unto those who rise up early in the morning just to get drunk and stay up late in the evening and they're wasting their money and wine and with all their banquets and the music in verse 12 and lyre and harp and tambourine and flute. And they don't pay attention to what the Lord wants them to do. They don't consider the work of God's hands. Therefore, they'll go into exile. Then he says into verse 18, woe unto those who drag iniquity by telling lies. The cords of falsehood, they keep on telling lies and keep on committing sin. And then verse 20, another group of people, woe unto those who call what is evil good. And what is good they call evil. They've turned values upside down. They've substituted darkness for light and light for darkness and substituted bitter things for sweet and sweet for bitter. Who are wise, another group. Verse, woe unto those, 21, who are wise in their own eyes. Proud people who think that everybody else is stupid except me. Verse 22, woe unto those who keep drinking wine and thereby who justify the wicked by taking a bribe. And then one day, chapter 6, when Uzziah died. Uzziah was a king who dared to go into God's temple. Only the priests could go there and try to offer a sacrifice. And you know what happened? God smote him and became a leper in a moment. And all his life he was a leper. He was a warning. His nose beaten and spots all over his body. And he was a testimony. And he had to sit alone. People saw the king has become a leper. And one day he died. And Isaiah was a prophet in those days. He saw what happened to him. And he says, in the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting on a throne. He got a vision of worship there. See a picture of worship? Seraphs. Seraphs means angels. Verse 2. They had six wings. With two they covered their face. With two they covered their feet. And with the two they flew. Service was only one third. Two thirds was worship. They worshipped and they served. But how much worship? Two thirds. Four out of the six wings. Service, two wings. That's the proportion. And he saw how it is in heaven. They worship and then they serve. They cover their faces. So worship is to cover my face and cover myself and hide myself and all my service with me. I don't want people to see my face. God alone must be exalted. When a person worships, he's scared that people will give him credit for something he does. Are you scared that people will give you credit for something you do for the Lord? I hope you are. If not, please develop that habit. Sometimes God gives us a gift and we serve him, whether it's in singing or musical instruments or preaching or anything. And people look at us and admire us and say, wow, how they play the instrument, how they preach. Brother, sister, please cover your face, cover your feet, be a worshiper. That's the best way to serve is by covering your whole body so that you don't, I don't mean physically, but that you have no desire for people to see you, no desire for people to think that you're a great preacher or you're a great singer or you're a great musician or you're a great server in the church who does things secretly and help. No desire for honor at all, hiding. That is a true worshiper. And Isaiah saw that. How they have six wings And they used four of them to worship and two to serve. And they heard him saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." They're not saying anything about themselves. They're speaking about the Lord, "Holy, holy." And then that sound, it says, the foundation of the thresholds trembled. And when he saw that, this man, Isaiah, who till now was saying, "Woe is so-and-so, and woe is unto so-and-so, and woe unto so-and-so, and woe unto this group, and woe unto that group." Suddenly he said, verse 5, "Woe unto me." See how it had changed? That is a result of worship. You won't be looking at the faults of other people so much. Those people are still guilty. Those people who are drunk, and those people who cheat others, and those people who do 101 other things, they're still there. They're doing the same things, but now you see yourself. "Lord, I am the chief of sinners." Inward things. I'm not doing these external filthy things other people do. I'm not taking property and getting drunk and all that, but woe is me. Where, Isaiah? I ask him, "Isaiah, why are you worse than those fellows who are getting drunk and calling evil good and cheating others and occupying property and robbing the poor?" "I'm not interested. I see the corruption in my own heart." That's what happens when you worship. I know it's happened to me again and again. It doesn't happen all the time. I wouldn't be able to bear it. But now and then you suddenly, Isaiah couldn't see it all the time, but now and then suddenly he gets a glimpse of how heaven is like, and he suddenly says, "Oh God, there's no sinner on earth like me." I want to ask you if you've ever had such experience. I've had some experiences like that. Not regularly, I wouldn't be able to bear it. But once in a while, I suddenly get a feeling, not because it says in the Bible the chief of sinners, not trying to quote something, but you really feel before God, "Boy, there could not be a sinner worse than me on this earth." If you feel like that, in that moment you're a worshiper. Not because you say something to quote something, but where you really feel, "There's nobody as bad as me, Lord. Your holiness is so great." Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I'm ruined. My conversation is so bad." He was immediately convicted about his conversation. When you become a worshipper, you'll be convicted about the things you say and the way you say it. And I say, "Lord, I'm surrounded by people who also speak like that. But I've become like them. I'm trying to preach to them, but I'm behaving like them, speak like them. Have mercy on me. I've seen the King." And I became a worshipper. And when he comes to that place, people seek the baptism of fire. Here it is. How you get the baptism of fire. God told one of the angels, "Take a burning coal from there and go and touch his mouth." And the angel did that. You know, it's very interesting to see something here. You read carefully. The angel could not touch that coal. It was a burning coal. The angel could not touch it. He had to use a tong, you know, metal tongs, verse 6, to pick up that coal. But the fire which an angel could not touch, could touch Isaiah. And it did not burn him. If the angel had touched it, it would have burnt his hand. So the angel takes it with the tong. But when it touches Isaiah's lips, it does not burn him out. Instead, it sets him on fire for God. This is the baptism of fire. I want it. I prayed and prayed and prayed for it. I long for it. I said, "Lord, I'll give up anything in the world for this. I want to live in this baptism of fire all the time." And the Lord said, "Your sin is taken away. It's cleansed, purged. It's forgiven." And not only that, now that my fire has touched your lips, you're ready to preach to others. And you said, "Lord," he said, "Lord, here am I, send me." This is a new Isaiah going out to preach. This is not the old man who just said, "Woe unto me, woe unto this, woe unto this group." He goes out, and then the Lord says to him, "Go. I'll give you a message to these people." Brothers and sisters, you may not stand in the pulpit to preach. You can be a sister. God can give you a message like this to other sisters with your lips touched by the fire of God. If you stop saying "woe unto the one, woe unto the one," and say, "Lord, woe unto me, let me see your glory." And God can touch your lips with a fire. And you sisters, make your blessing to other sisters. Speaking one-on-one, you may not ever stand in the pulpit in your life, and you can be a servant of God. So, worship and serve. The secret of everything is humility. Jesus said, learn humility from me. Be willing to fall into the ground and die to your own reputation and name and everything. This is what we have preached in CFC for 50 years. If you fall into the ground and die, there'll be much fruit. I remember years ago before CFC started, a godly man once told me, when you go to Bangalore, go and fall into the ground and die there. It was long before CFC started. I've never forgotten that. The only way fruit will come is if you fall into the ground and die, there'll be fruit. I said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing to go to Bangalore and fall into the ground and die. It's not by activity. See around us the crops that grow. They all came by some seed that fell, hidden underground for a long time. Dies. These big oak trees, one seed falls into the ground and dies. Nobody sees it. Gradually it becomes such a solid oak tree, you can't even shake it. May God help us to be like that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so easy to be stirred temporarily by stirring messages. Speak to our hearts in a permanent way. Deliver us from the desire to promote ourselves, to be seen and to be made visible. Make us like the angels who cover their face, cover their body, and seek to worship you. Make us worshippers. We pray in Jesus' name.